this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Okay, great stuff. Gonna have some more time at the end of the service to discuss together. So I'm glad that makes you so excited, Johan. It's awesome. This evening, I want to share a very practical word with you guys. We've been just for the last few weeks or so, we've really been just opening up our hearts and our ears to hear from God, the Holy Spirit, as to where He's wanting to take us as a church in this year. And I'm so encouraged by the word the Lord brought tonight concerning the reality of Scripture and the reality of what the word says the normal Christian life looks like. Because a normal Christian life involves persecution and martyrdom. The normal Christian life does not involve comfort as my highest priority in my life. It involves a laying down of our lives and involves a very deliberate and calculated counting of the cost. And at times I'm envious of people who don't have it as comfortable as we have, who are being forced to make certain decisions when they do come to Jesus. Now, comfort isn't a sin. Having things isn't a sin. But when those things have you, when your comfort is your God, when your comfort controls what you do, then you're in trouble. And I really want to encourage us just to open up our hearts for what the Lord is going to say to us in this year. Some of you will be challenged to go places you never thought you would go before. Just be open for what the Holy Spirit will say to you as He leads you. Because, as Scripture says, there's a prize that God has been laying up in store for us. There's a reward that He has for us. And at times, we settle for earthly rewards, don't we? We settle for the things we can see here. But there's so much more that God has for us. And I want to speak to us this evening about roads. And I've given this the heading of my sermon, All Roads Lead to the Way. And I hope that confuses you or it enlightens you depending on where you are tonight. But we've been spending some interesting time on the road lately, Nikki and myself and the kids. And the more people you have together in the car, the more interesting it gets. just driving through from Pretoria to meetings in Johannesburg and just all over the place, I've just come to a newfound appreciation of the value of good roads. Roads that work. Roads that are easy on your car and on your back. And roads that actually take you where they say they will take you. Last weekend, I was in Stanerton. And they sent their love. Stanerton, Shofar Stanerton is going very well with the congregation. Please continue to pray for them. But Pastor Anton and Christelle, they send their love to you. But just going there, it's about a 200-kilometer drive, but it feels like 5 hours because somebody's forgotten about this road. Somebody has forgotten that they also need to be maintained. And so it's a real faith exercise going there, just trusting the Lord that you will get to the other side, depending on which road you take, without writing off your vehicle. But just driving now, I've come to realize that the Lord really is in search of godly civil engineers. He needs more civil engineers. He needs people who have a passion for roads. People who have a passion for things that work. And John the Baptist was one such civil engineer. If you can just turn in your Bibles with me or just follow on the screen. We see, let me skip the first one. Go to Matthew 3 verse 1. Guys, it's at the back. I think it's the third slide. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom, are we there? Yeah. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he, speaking about John, who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Okay? So he obviously had a very big passion for roads that work. He was anointed by God, the Holy Spirit, to prepare a specific way and to prepare ways, but not the physical ways per se, but ways into the hearts of people. And this evening, I want to speak to us about a few ways, a few roads, a few highways, calling them, that lie in wait for us in 2012, that I believe we need to be very deliberate about as to how we take them. Because the reality is that unless you have a very clear picture of where you want to go, unless you have a very clear idea, very clear dream, a very clear desire as to where do you want to spend your holiday, where do you want to spend your weekend, how are you going to prioritize, all sorts of things are going to come in. Before you know it, you end up where you didn't plan on ending up. And so it's important for us to just maybe tonight make a few sums, count the cost maybe around some of these roads I believe God is holding before us. And the first one is the one that John the Baptist was on, the one that John the Baptist came to introduce to the people, and that is the highway of repentance. And the reality is that repentance isn't a once-off event that takes place in our lives. The highway of repentance is the one that we need to be on consistently. It's pretty much, like I see, a collision. It's a highway in which you have lots of collisions taking place. Repentance for me is typified by Paul on his high horse, literally. Busy persecuting the people of God. Busy doing his own thing, having a very clear picture in his own mind as to what God had called him to do. And then suddenly, he ran into the holiness of God. And so you had this collision between a holy, awesome God and that God's presence and a very sinful man. And when the two of them met, there was this collision. There was this wreckage of Paul's dreams, the wreckage of his own desires. And when he was face to face with God, everything else came to a standstill. Everything else stopped. It was like myself a few years ago, we moved up to Pretoria. I dropped a friend off here at the airport in Oliver Tambo. They were still busy working on the roads, getting the highway sorted out. And as I'm driving back home, after a while, I get a phone call from Cape Town. And this is my friend that I dropped off at the airport, phoning me saying, thanks, Hein, for taking me to the airport. And thanks for the amazing time I spent with you guys. I'm like, are you home already? Are you in Cape Town already? He's like, yeah, man. It's like 2 hours later. And there I was still driving on my way home to Pretoria. I wasn't driving because there was a major accident alongside the road. Everything, hundreds of cars, I don't know how many, but hundreds of cars came to a standstill. Things stopped. Things couldn't just continue the way they were before. And repentance speaks of that. Repentance speaks of that collision that you have with the standards of God, the holiness of God, His perfection, and the realization that I'm not that. I'm not perfect. I'm not holy. I don't meet the criteria. And then having to make a certain decision, how will I continue to live from this moment on? How will I readjust my life? How will I walk the road that lies ahead of me? And John the Baptist came and he said something so beautifully. He said that his desire is, and this is such a beautiful summary of repentance for me, his desire is to have God increase in his life and him decrease. To have God become more in his life. And I like the focus. I like the order of that. It wasn't, I must decrease so God can increase. It was, God must increase so I can decrease. As you focus on him, as you focus on God's holiness, as you enter into worship, as you enter into the presence of God, as you submit yourself to the word of God, you get changed in the process. You get challenged in the process. But my desire is, guys, and JP shared the word with me earlier around the martyrdom, and whether it's that or whether it's what we do with our possessions, I believe the time for coming to God and saying to God what we will do with our lives, what we will do with our possessions, what we will do with our marriages, what we will do with our children, those days are gone. If we want to enter into what God has for us, if we want to be the bride that is resplendent in glory and is really on the cutting edge of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, we need to come to him again and just say, Lord, I've used a lot of the stuff that you've given me for my own purposes. I've used a lot of the stuff for my own comfort and my own joy and my own peace. And once again, God desires us to have those things, but not at the cost of our souls, not at the cost of the really important things. And so I'm challenged by the way John the Baptist lived. I'm challenged by the fact that he said there's a way that is straight, and that's the way of repentance. But there's also a way that is crooked. There's a way that is twisted. There's a way that takes you on detours. And that is the way that leads you away from repentance. And for myself, and I want to encourage you just to join me on this journey, I believe God the Holy Spirit is going to come And throughout this year, and I know that with some of us it started already, he's going to challenge us on a few fundamental things that we have just assumed about him. That we have just assumed this is what God wants me to do. We have just assumed this is where he wants me to live. We have just assumed this is how he wants me to spend my time. Instead of coming saying, Lord, if you are Lord of all, what implication does it have for my life? Because the reality is, I don't have forever just to live the way that I want to live. And I believe the Lord is holding before us an amazing prize, an amazing reward of fulfillment and contentment as we live the way he wants us to live. And as we continue to walk on this highway of repentance. And I believe for some of us, even tonight, we need to get back onto the highway. There are things the Lord has convicted us about, things that he has spoken to us about, and we are deliberating that. We're still wanting 15 confirmations about it. And I believe the Lord is simply saying, just repent. You need to repent. Repent, get it over and done with. It's going to make your life a lot easier. You're going to feel a lot lighter. Your conscience is going to stop bugging you. Get the thing out of the way. Repent before God. Some of us need to go to people as well and say, I am sorry. Please forgive me. And get to that place. And embrace it, because a lot of healing lies in that for us. If you go one slide up, guys in the back, Matthew 22 verse 9 says, then he, speaking about a king who was planning a wedding, and ultimately referring to God who was planning an incredible day of celebration for us, said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you can find, invite to the wedding. And I want to hold this before you, because before you get all depressed, the highway of repentance runs into the highway of this invitation. It leads you to a greater destination. The focus for God isn't to keep you where you are repenting all the time. That is not God's focus. God isn't wanting you to be sin conscious all the time. He isn't wanting you to get depressed about how inadequate you are and about how much you still need to grow. That is not the case. His focus for you is the invitation he's holding before you, and it is that wedding, that feast, that place of celebration, that place of knowing that your presence there at the party, at that wedding, makes a big difference to God. That's why he invited you. He wants you to be there. You're not just some mistake that happened to be blown into the hall by the wind, and you actually ended up at the wrong wedding venue, as I once did when I had to do a wedding, and fortunately realized my mistake early enough. But you actually have an invitation from God. He wants you to be at that wedding. It says, the king says to his servants, go into the highways, and as many as you can find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now the story goes on to talk about the fact that you need to enter the wedding hall in a specific way. And that is what John the Baptist speaks about. This place that God has for us, this place of abundance, this place of knowing that the king has a very special invitation for you. The fact that God wants to celebrate you and he wants you to come into his story, the invitation needs to be accepted in a specific way. And that specific way is simply this: repentance. Now all of us, I believe, as we're sitting here, have heard that invitation. Otherwise you wouldn't have been here. And some of us are already sitting at the table and we're partying away and we're having a splendid time. Some of us are still standing at the door, checking things out, not sure, are you dressed properly? Are you in the right place? Do you know people? Where are you going to sit? All of those things. But the Lord is saying to us that he wants us to have maximum benefit of this invitation. Because he didn't invite you simply to stand on the outside. He didn't invite you simply to come in and have a nice time, but then leave again. He has invited you because he has something very special, something very specific in store for you. But in order for you to get there, you need to trust the Holy Spirit to show you what are the things that are making my way to the wedding feast crooked. If you have been to weddings, I'm sure all of you have, you know that the main focus of the wedding is the couple getting married. And they're supposed to be in any case. Sometimes you have a few relatives that sort of hijack the whole show with a few long speeches and tales and all sorts of stuff. And a few friends of the bridegroom as well make life very difficult for him when he wants to make a speech. I don't know why you have friends like that. But in any case, if you're a friend like that, please don't be like that. The focus of the wedding, some of you guys actually need to repent. Huh? You've, a few friends you put through the mill and you were very nasty to him. While he was trying to, and George, yeah, in front of him. And he, well. That's why you repent. But the focus of the wedding is this couple. And everybody wants, somewhere along the line, wants to spend time with them. Wants to tell her how beautiful she looks. Wants to tell him that he doesn't look too shabby. Wants to just bask in the glow of their presence. And it's almost as if you just want to, if you can just get close enough to them, their joy can sort of rub off on you. Their intoxication with life can rub off on you. That is if you still have innocence about life left. That is if you haven't become cynical along the way. And you sit there and you think this thing isn't going to last. So all I'm going to do is I'm just going to sit here. I've come because I had the invitation. I didn't want to disappoint them. I'm going to chat to a few people and then I leave again. But if your heart is still open and you're innocent about life, and you actually believe that there is Zoe, that means life and life in abundance, then you want to share in their joy. You want to have your picture taken with them. And in a sense, that is what God is holding before us in this invitation. He's saying that, I don't want you to sit way over there in Antarctica and I'm over here and billions of people want to get to me, so you've got to wait your turn before I eventually can get to your table. So I want you to sit as close to me as you possibly can. I want you to share in the fullness of my joy that you have come. I'll never forget when I got married 8 years ago, it literally felt like my jaw was going to come loose. Just like my face was going to split because of all the smiling I had to do that day. And you know, it's only after about 3 hours or so that you realize, man, that I've been smiling quite a lot. You know, it's not something, okay, now I've got to smile. First of all, pictures and all those things. But now when you're there and you're in the moment and you've got the prize, and yes, you feel a little bit like Shrek standing next to Fiona, but that's okay. You've got the prize. You've got the woman of your dreams. And so you can't stop smiling. And God has that special celebration in store for us. I want you to come close enough. If you can get close enough to me, there's something that's going to happen to your heart. Where you don't have to fake it in order to make it in the kingdom. You know how often you fake your way into church and you fake it out of church again? You smile, but meanwhile, you don't have too much to smile about. Anyway, so when Alex says, what are you thankful about? You're going to pretend you're going to mouth something, but you can't actually think of something. Then we feel all condemned. We walk out of here instead of having the liberty to go up to somebody and say, man, I realize I can't see life anywhere. I'm feeling down. Just pray with me. And God is wanting to place a smile, not so much like here on your face, but here on your heart. Because if it's on your heart, if the joy is there, then it erupts. Then your smile, your face can't help but respond. Like on that wedding day, you can't help, man, about just telling anybody. And yeah, sometimes it rains or it drizzles and the pictures don't work out the way they should and the sound man forget to push the record button. But you don't worry about those things because you've got the prize. You're standing there and everything is going to be okay because you're where you want to be. You're exactly where you want to be. And the wedding invitation that God gives to us is that He wants us to be exactly where He wants us to be, and that is close to Him, intimate with Him. And so the highway of repentance is the way into intimacy with God. It is simply just saying, my ways don't work, God. And I had to say that a while ago to the Lord. So God, I desire intimacy with you. I desire to know your voice and to be close to you, but I have to admit there's so much of that I'm missing out in my life. I know the fault isn't yours, but I know that I'm walking around with a lot of assumptions about you. Break through that. Just break through the way that I look at things and even at myself. And I want to just encourage all of us this year, as we're going to go into this year, to just really embrace the fact that God has invited us. At the same time, He has called us to invite others. Now, the tragedy of the matter is that if you don't think the party rocks, if you don't think that it is a joyous place to be at, you're probably not going to invite anybody there. Because why invite them to a drag? Why invite them to a place that's not happening? But the Lord is saying that it's not just about your life. And a few weeks ago, Sears was there. Yeah, he's there now, but he's here. Was here. And just really came to encourage us to step out in faith. To utilize the gifts of the Spirit that the Lord has given us. You know, after a while, we need to come face to face with the reality that our lives, very often, on a day-to-day level, sometimes so far beneath what we would like it to be. You work through things. Right? There are issues and stuff you have to work through from time to time. And then the devil can come, the devil can tell you, okay, you're still working through this. You haven't even managed to clean your room up yet. So who are you to go out and tell people about Jesus? Silly example, but we all have our little rooms. Use the room metaphorically for whatever you're struggling with. And the devil wants to intimidate you and say, you will forever be caught up in this. You know what? It isn't my wedding. I'm not inviting somebody so much into my life as I'm inviting them into the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm inviting them to somebody who truly knows how to satisfy them. And I want to encourage you. We're going to have the share seminar coming up in a few weeks' time. And we had the slide up there. But the 25th of March, we're going to come together because I believe that the Lord is holding before us just a challenge to enter into the highway of invitation. To enter into a place where we, and by the way, I'm just so blessed. The chairs are filling up in this place. People are inviting other people. And I believe the Lord is wanting us to step out into the next level. To invite people into our lives. Because in our hearts, in our lives, whether you maybe you feel like it right now or not, there's a celebration taking place. That you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're not going to spend eternity apart from God. You're going to spend eternity doing incredible things with the Lord. You're going to spend eternity worshiping Him in a way that's going to be beyond just mere words. But they're going to be worlds to conquer, worlds to steward worlds to rule with our God. And there's an amazing life that God has in store for us. And sometimes we walk away from what the early church had, a yearning for the day when Jesus comes back. Because that is the day when our wedding day arrives. Maranatha, Jesus, come back soon. And I want to just ask you this evening, how strong is the desire inside of your heart for Jesus to come back? How strong is the desire inside of your heart to be united with Him? And how many people have you told about that? We're just in our own family now with some family members who are growing very ill. We face with that challenge now. To make the sums and to say we won't have these people with us for the rest of our lives. And suddenly the things you talk about take on a completely different meaning. Suddenly just talking about the weather isn't good enough anymore if you know this person is on borrowed time. Suddenly there's an urgency in our hearts. You know what, saints? That is why God has saved us. That is why we are still here. It is because there are people who need to hear. Just as you heard one day in your life, somebody invited you. Not to a church. Please don't. I'm not equating salvation with a church. But hang on a minute, within church, salvation gets offered. As the Lord just comes and He empowers us and He leads us, and we need to take that invitation to the highways and the byways. So I've got in my heart that we're going to target just the how train in prayer first. We're just going to go and we're going to meet together somewhere, maybe in Sandton or Rosebank, get on the train and just pray all the way to Pretoria and back again. And just see what the Lord tells us about that highway. That He has built for a very specific reason, for a very specific purpose. It's not just a wonderful invention. There's redemptive purpose for that Gautrain. People being transported to and fro. And we need to tap into the Lord's wavelength and find out, God, what are you saying to us about the highways in our city? As you're driving on the N1 or the whatever M1 and the R21 and all those things, pray. Say, God, what are you stirring in my heart? Where is this artery leading? Because this road represents thousands of people who are using it every day. We're going to their homes and to their job places. And I need to just get a download from you, God. Where is this taking me? And so I want to just really encourage you guys, if you can make it at all, diarize it. 25th, we're going to speak to each other just about how can our lives be the invitation? Practical ways. How can we get practical about inviting people into our lives? The third highway I believe the Lord is holding before us. The first one is the highway of repentance, the highway of invitation. The third one is the highway of consecration. Isaiah 35 verse 8 says, there will be a highway called the Holy Road, the highway of holiness. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It is for God's people exclusively, and it's impossible to get lost on this road. This is from the Message translation. It is impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. And I love this promise. I would love to have such roads, because I do have a knack of sort of discovering how to get lost on certain roads. But here's an amazing promise that God gives us. And I know at the beginning of the year, we sometimes go from being tremendously excited and enthusiastic about the year, and at the same time, being terribly intimidated and confused about what lies ahead of us. And here the Lord is saying that the way that He has made open to us and available to us, not to get lost in all the many different roads that you can take, is a commitment to holiness. He says that there will be a highway called the Holy Road. The New King James says, the highway of holiness. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It is for God's people exclusively, those who have been washed in New Testament terms by the blood of the Lamb. And on this road, on this highway of holiness, it is impossible to get lost. Not even fools can get lost on it. And I just sensed in my heart that some of us, the Lord is going to set you free from a spirit of confusion that have been plaguing you for a long time concerning your purpose, concerning your destiny, concerning what it is that God has called you to do. You don't know what your purpose is. You don't know whether God wants you to be married or not. You don't know whether God wants you to have kids or not, whether He wants you to be fulfilled or not. And the devil has come, and from a very young age, He has been targeting you, and He has just been going for you in the area of your identity. And our identity is very closely linked to our perception of our sexuality, of who we are as men and as women. And I believe the Lord is going to just embark on a journey with us on this highway of consecration, where we are going to enter into a level of holiness that I know so many of our hearts have been longing for, so many of our hearts have been yearning for. And He's going to set us free, and there's going to be a corporate anointing upon us to enter into what God has for us. Not to have yourself stuck in cycles for years on end. Because as you grow in that expression and the experience of God's holiness, you will find your confidence increasing. You will find your boldness increasing. You will find that suddenly you know what to focus on. Suddenly you don't have to be thrown by every little thing the devil throws at you. And again, I'm going to put this within the context of something very practical. Guys, as we're going into this year and the Lord is speaking to us about the supernatural, what we're not going to move away from is our foundations. Okay, so this evening is pretty much just the reestablishment of our foundation. So just bear with me. And I believe one of the tools the Lord has given us for this highway of holiness is our Liberty Seminar. All right, it comes up on the 14th of April. It's simply a weekend of worship. Because holiness outside of worship really doesn't have any context whatsoever. Holiness outside of worship is simply just a dead work that you are trying to attain to. You're trying to live up to the standard. And holiness and the experience of holiness, I just like it. The experience of holiness flows out of an intimate realization of who we are in the presence of God. Flows out of an intimate experience with this awesome God. And some of you have been fighting battles. You've been struggling in terms of the area of holiness and living holy, consecrated lives. And I believe the Lord is going to set you free as you just worship Him. So we're going to take a weekend out and just worship the Lord. Spend time in His presence. And whatever God then reveals to us what we need to deal with, we will deal with those things. But guys, the time for going around in cycles, it is gone. The Lord is holding me for us invitations that we need to embrace. And by the way, holiness isn't perfection so much as it is consecration. What does consecration mean? Consecration simply means that I know that I've been created for a specific purpose. And I'm going to yield myself to that purpose. My body, my mind, my intellect, all of those things have been created with a purpose to worship God. And whatever else comes between me and the worship of God leads me down a path of unholiness. Leads me down a path where I get confused and I'm not too sure about who I am. And I believe the Lord is wanting to bring us back to a place saying, just focus on me once again. Okay? So that weekend is important. It's a weekend I believe that is going to really mean a lot to many of you. What I'm not saying is that your holiness will be reduced this one weekend. It's going to solve all your problems. Okay? We're not that naive. We're not saying that our foundation courses is going to be the magic fix. But we are saying is that we believe that the Lord has brought us together as a family. It's like when I sit down with my kids around the table, there are things happening. There are amazing things the Lord shares with us as we are open to listen to each other. Some of our most precious times of just being together, sitting down, slowing down, and just enjoying each other. Now, if we don't fight for that dinner time, if mom doesn't say 6:30 is time that we eat, all sorts of stuff happen. And the kids want to grab something to eat and get to the DVD or whatever, jump into bed. We have to fight for our times together. We have to fight for what the Lord has released through us. Now, some of you guys, you've gone through liberty. It's time to sow back. Okay? It is time to invest what the Lord has done in your life, the freedom He has given you. There's some of us brothers here, older brothers in the faith. The Lord has set you free from a lot of things. You need to get out of your hibernation, get to the place of intercession, get to the place of taking somebody else by the hand and walking with them, embracing them. We're going to start reaching out to campus very soon. And the Lord is going to give us tons and tons of young men and young women who are very broken and very hurt. And I believe the Lord has raised you up, not for no reason, that this church consists of strong young adults. All of you fall in that category. Still young spirit, if you're not young in the flesh. But there's a reason, okay, why God has blessed you. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you have slain the things that you have slain in your life. There's some guys being terribly intimidated. They don't know that they can go a week staying pure. They don't know that they can go a month without sleeping with a girl. And there are things that the Lord has done in our lives that we can impart. Same with you girls. There's some of you here, you've been through incredible things. The Lord has healed you of just emotional scars of abuse and abortion and all sorts of things like that. And there's a time the Lord is leading us into where we're going to invest those things into the lives of the people around us. And that is church for me. Church isn't this per se. This isn't the full sum total of what church is, me preaching at you like I'm doing right now. Church is all of us ministering together. And everything that you have been through in your life has been designed to get you to a place of vulnerability for the presence of God to move through you. And as you're sitting there, you're a minister of the gospel. I'm going to pull a CS on you and ask you, just turn to somebody next to you and say to them, you're a minister of the gospel. You're a beautiful minister of the gospel. Guys, so diarize that weekend. If you're going on mission, we specifically need you to be there. If you're going on mission to Rwanda, all right, all of us are on mission. If you're going on mission to Rwanda, please be there. Okay. The fourth highway is the highway of rest. A wonderful book in scripture, the 16th verse, says the following. Jeremiah 6. Verse 16 says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. And ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And then he goes on and he challenges them and says, but I've set watchmen over you, saying, give heed to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not give heed. Stand by the roads and look and ask. Stand, look, and ask. It speaks about a very deliberate pursuit of what God has for us. Stand still. Stop. And that's why we have created many of these seminars around weekends to force us to stand still. You can either stop as you're heading somewhere because you've planned to stop, or you can stop because you've run out of fuel, or you got a puncture, or you ran into a truck from the front. But stop, you will stop somewhere along the line. And the most beneficial stops are the stops that you have planned. The stops that actually have worked into your journey. And guys, for us here in Johannesburg, and as busy as we are, the beginning of the year, I want to encourage you again, get onto the Google Calendar. It is available. We need to plan ahead. Okay, there are eternal things at stake. So I'm going to speak to you a little bit like a dad this evening. There are eternal things at stake. There are things that I went through 20 years ago where the Lord delivered me from stuff, and I can now see why I had to go through those things. And a lot of it was in my own quiet place with the Lord, wrestling through things with Him. But so much of it was in the company and the fellowship of other believers, where there was a corporate anointing. There was something the Lord wanted to do The trumpet was sounded and my heart responded. And so I want to just hold this before you, that the trumpet is going to sound. The Lord is going to say things through you here on a Sunday evening. And it's going to stir stuff in our hearts. Let's respond to that. If we have a fear, for instance, of dying prematurely, or fear of the city, and tonight the Lord has said He wants to remove the fear of death from us. Respond to that. Grab a hold of JP at the end of the service and say, pray with me, because I have this fear thing driving me insane. And He says, stand. Look and ask. So we're going to take another weekend out, and we're going to ask for the old paths. The old paths speaks about the ancient paths, the ways that we sometimes forget about in our modern culture, in our modern age. The things that have sort of become out of fashion, like respect, honoring your mother and your father. Those the things that are character things. If you look in your workplace and think about the people that you work with, you know that skills can be acquired. Right? Somebody can come in a certain work environment and have zero skills, but you can still take that person, if they are willing to learn, to a place where they can function competently and eventually maybe even excellently. That is possible. It will take you some time and some investment, but if they're willing and you have the resources and you are willing to teach them, you can get them to the place where they can acquire the skills. Character, on the other hand, is much more difficult. More people get fired on the basis of character defects than skills that they don't have. The inability to get along with people. The inability to rise above the desires in our hearts to be right all the time, or to feel vindicated, or to feel that you're being appreciated, and all of those things sometimes cause us to do incredible things where we hurt other people. And we bring those things into church very often. We take it into our workplace. And then we try and fix those things. And so I get saved and I know, okay, now I have to be a Christian. So I'm going to change the way I dress maybe a little bit. I'm going to change the way that I talk. Okay, I'm still going to listen to my AC/DC CDs in maybe in private. You guys know what AC/DC is. It's not a plug. It was a band, okay, heavy metal band years ago. I don't know what the guys listen to nowadays who are really into the other side. And I'm going to buy a few Passion CDs and a few Hillsong CDs and say blessed at the right time. Say amen at the right time if that is what the guys do around me. Laugh at Heinrich's jokes. Don't really think it's funny, but everybody else is laughing. Get to small group celebration and do all the things. And just basically just get to a place where I get into the subculture that is the Christian life. But that isn't what God has in store for us. God isn't just into fixing things on the surface. So at the end of the day, we come together and we're happy, but I go home and I cry myself to sleep. Or I can't sleep. And I invest everything I have into my job, and I'm driven to be successful because there are things from the past just haunting me. And we're just saying in church, there's no way we're going to play church. There's no way we're just going to come together, sing a few songs, listen to the word, and then go home again. We're going to stop. We're going to take a weekend out from time to time. We're going to stand still, and we're going to ask, Lord, show us where the paths in our lives have gone wrong. Show us where things in our family life went askew. Show us where I got hurt. And move us beyond the place where we just deal with the symptoms, and we can actually get to the root. Okay? It's only once you deal with the root, it's only once you get to the place where you're willing to confront what is in your heart, you can actually get to a true place of rest. So the Lord is saying you will find rest for your souls. When you do what? When you ask for the ancient paths. When you ask for the way of God. And I know in a room like this, there are so many broken relationships in our lives. And the Lord isn't promising us quick fixes. He isn't promising us to have all those relationships fixed all at once. But He is promising us peace, which makes all the difference. You can have peace even when the relationships aren't fixed. And you can have a veneer and a pretense. All relationships are hunky-dory, but there are no peace. Some of you went through incredible texting times over the holidays because you had to spend time with people you actually didn't want to spend time with. And instead of you running away from those memories, I actually want you just to speak to the Holy Spirit about that. Why was my time at home so tough for me? It's going to open up things and it's going to open up stuff in your heart. Maybe you say, I don't. There you go again. Now you remind me of stuff that you didn't want to be reminded about. But we're not going to run away. The Lord has healing in store for you. He's got peace in store for you. And I want you to embrace what He has for you. So that weekend is going to come up very soon on the 11th of March. Okay, so just highlight that. If you haven't done that yet, please do that. Thanks, Maria. Mark 9 says the following. Mark 9 was 33. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" So the fifth highway we're looking at. What were you discussing on the way? It's a highway. These guys were walking, traveling to a certain place. And then Jesus interrupts their thoughts. He asks them, "What were you discussing on the way?" They were walking with Jesus. And so, interpose here and maybe just ask you, what were you thinking in your heart? It was actually what Jesus was asking them. But they were silent, for on the way, they discussed with one another who was the greatest. Now, I don't know how many of you have had experiences with Jesus like the disciples has had here. Were you continuing along in your life merrily, thinking the things you want to think and entertaining things you want to entertain? And then suddenly it's as if God just gets your number, just sends a message right through to you. What are you thinking of? Didn't really want you part of this conversation in my head, God. Didn't really want you to know that. He does in any case. And most of the time, he asks us the question to get us to a place of honesty. Not as if he doesn't know. He asks us the question to get us to a place of honesty. And one of the greatest advantages of church life for me, in terms of belonging to a local family, is that we are forced to answer certain questions that our hearts would normally never answer by itself. What were you thinking? Why are you doing the things that you are doing? Why are you wanting to run away? Why did you say that to me in that way? And here Jesus comes and Jesus says, "Guys, what were you discussing?" They didn't want to say, they didn't want to admit that they were full of pride. And he sat down and he called the 12 and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And guys, here in Johannesburg, we are a very privileged church. We are a very privileged city. And I believe that together with the amazing privileges and gifts that the Lord has given us, another gift that He has given us is that of service. And that He holds before us in 2012, a reorientation of our hearts, maybe to a greater level, to say, "God, everything that I have, I'm going to lay down in order for you to use that for the purposes of your kingdom." Remember, kingdom isn't limited to what goes on here. Like, it's a very small part of it. But He says there, if you want to be first, you must be last of all and servant of all. And I just want to say to you that I'm so blessed by the heart of service here. I'm so blessed by how many things can run independently of me. That I don't have to worry about a lot of stuff because God is putting up the hands and saying, "We're going to do it. We don't want you to worry about it. We're going to do it." But where we're heading, I'm telling you guys, the fish is coming in. Okay? The need is coming in. People with needs are coming to us. And in order for us to be at a place where we can really serve them the way God wants us to serve them, I believe we need to make a quality decision that one of the highways we are going to be on this year is the highway of servanthood. It's the highway of saying that I'm going to, whether it's serving in the band, whether it's serving the kiddies church or the youth that we trust in the Lord to start up, whether it's serving at the campus services, I'm going to do this not to be noticed, not to be seen, not to get some acclaim, not to get the girlfriend or the boyfriend. I'm going to do this simply to serve you. And, you know, just years ago, I'll never forget, some of the most incredible things the Lord shared with me was while I was serving, standing in Stellenbosch, just for months, handing out. We still had this little announcement sheets that were handed out to people coming in. And I thought, "Lord, you know, I grew up in church, and my dad was a pastor, and yeah, I have to start all from scratch again." And the Lord just really began to share with me around the difference that one act of service can make in somebody else's life. I've heard so many testimonies about people here in church who are saying that they are here because somebody came up to them and said, "Do you know where to go? Do you know which small group to go to? Who are you?" Something as simple and something as small as that, simply giving water to somebody else, introducing yourself to somebody outside in the foyer, can literally make the difference between somebody being slotted in, being covered, being protected, maybe somebody walking away, never coming back again. So with all the things that we can aspire to be in, the Lord is going to bless us with many things. We're still going to have awesome bands and songs that are going to be written from this place. And we're going to have many more churches we're going to plant in Johannesburg, and the churches in the region are going to increase. But beyond all of those things, and even the gifts that we can give to other churches, my desire is for us as a congregation to be known by our hearts of service. That we serve people because people matter, irrespective of what they give back to us. People matter. And the 4th of March, we're having our community seminar. Okay, it's where we just get together. If you haven't done this yet, I encourage you, please do it. It's where we just simply talk to each other about who we are. Where are the areas of service? Where can you get involved? How can you make a valuable difference? Okay, and a valuable contribution. Because each one of you, if the Lord has placed you here, if the Lord has said this is where you need to be, then the Lord has an area of service for you. Okay, there's a gift God has placed in your heart. There's a gift that He has equipped you for, and you need to be able to share that. If the Lord doesn't want you here, if you know in your heart He wants you to serve in another place, please do that. Go commit there. Serve the leadership of the church wholeheartedly. Okay? But it's as we serve that we really, really get into the heart of God. The second last one is also in Mark 9, 36 verse. Jesus took a child and He put him in the midst of them, and taking him in His arms, He said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but Him who sent me." And I believe this is where, you know, we still have an area to grow in. And that is that the Lord, and Alex spoke to us earlier today, spoke to us about just the kiddies church and His desire for the kiddies church and where He's wanting the kiddies church to go. And we've got about 5 couples who are pregnant. So the Lord is so good to us. We're growing. From the outside and from the inside. So there's a lot of spontaneous growth that is taking place. And I believe the Lord is sending us the kids for a specific reason. He's wanting us also tangibly just to have an expectation in our hearts that as we have the physical kids, we're going to have a lot of spiritual kids that come in. A lot of kids are going to get born again in the spirit. You're in this place. And then the Lord says, "I want you to receive them." And I believe something we need to grow in is our ability to receive people the way that God wants us to receive them. Our ability to welcome them, to celebrate them, to make them feel at home. Because at the end of the day, this is supposed to be home. This is the place where people can walk in, they can feel comfortable, and they can feel welcome. And once again, each one of us has a valuable part to play in that. We sometimes hand out these little welcoming packs. Now, I just want to say to you, guys, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a member here with us, you are a welcoming pack. You've got written on your forehead, "Welcome." Take a look at me. Okay, and so we're not going to come to church simply for what we can get. We're going to come to church with an eye on the little ones. The little kids running around, looking after them. But more than that, the babies that are going to be born here. The people are going to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So I want to just encourage you, open up your heart to just really grow in that gift. Some of you already have that gift. Okay, you should be helping us in the foyer. You should be coming to us with ideas as to how we can make this place more hospitable and make it more accessible to people. And the Lord has gifted you in a very specific way. People always want to come to you. You're always having parties at your place. All right, and that might feel very unspiritual to you, but it's a gift the Lord has given you. People want to hang around you, and you need to bring that to the table so we can make use of that gift in church. So I'm trusting the Lord for a culture of hospitality. I'm trusting the Lord that as He's speaking to you, you would go back to the info table there at the back and just maybe give your name up there to be part of the hospitality team. And then I want to invite you this weekend on the 3rd and the 4th, we have a small group training. Maybe you're not a small group leader, you're not an intern, but I want to invite you in any case. We're going to talk about how can we really be open and accessible to people. We're going to talk about how can we invite people into our lives and how can we go to them. So even if you're not part of the more formal structured leadership, please come. Speak to Alex. Put your name down. We would love to have you there. We will start off Friday evening, just worship. And then Saturday, we'll just brainstorm. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? Because guys, we have our weaknesses. As a family, we're not perfect. Right? And I believe the Lord is calling us to a place to say to Him, Lord, show us where we need to improve, not where we can be perfect, but so we can be efficient and effective as a family. If you don't stop, if you don't stand, if you don't look, and if you don't ask, and I want to give you the invitation as well. Come and chat to me if there's stuff that are bothering you. Come and chat to me if there are things you think we can do better. Okay, because this, at the end of the day, is our house. It's not my house. This house is going to continue. When I'm gone, JP is gone, when the leader's gone, this house is going to continue. It's going to grow stronger. It's not about a person. It's about us collectively taking responsibility. So please come to this weekend. Just let us know beforehand. We would love to have your input. We'd love to hear what you're thinking. And then the last one, John 14, verse 1. Jesus speaking is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And here again, we see that it's towards the end of Jesus' life. Jesus speaking to them, he's saying, listen, I'm going to go away soon. But don't be afraid. I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to come back for you. And now we know Jesus was speaking about heaven. We know Jesus was speaking about dying and then ascending, and then one day he's coming back for us. The disciples, they've been walking with Jesus for about 3 years at this stage, and they're just completely thrilled. What is he talking about? Going away and coming back again. And so Thomas says to him, Lord, I'm just honest. Look at verse, the next verse there, just from the Message translation. I love the way he translates. He says, Master, we have no idea where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? And I just sense that for some of us, we sort of feel this way sometimes. Lord, we know you said that you are going, and we would love to go with you, but we've got no idea where you're going. There's so many conflicting thoughts and dreams and words and prophecies, and just my boss is saying this, and my family is saying this, and the church is saying this. Just help me out here. It's okay not knowing. I just want to say that to you. It's okay not knowing. It's okay not having all the answers. That is exactly why Jesus come into our lives, to lead us, and why he has given us each other. And Jesus comes and he says, I'm the road, also the truth, also the life. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, for you've even seen him. And he breaks it down to them, gives them a more revelation of himself. And now they're even more confused. Philip says, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. Now, the disciples normally get the prize for the dumbest question in the group. Now, sometimes it's amazing. They've been with Jesus for so long, and still they don't get it. And I've been walking with Jesus for so long, and still I don't get it. So many things in my life. So this is an open invitation for the dumb ones, foolish ones, the ones who don't know things amongst us, to join me as we submit ourselves once again to the highway of discipleship this year. It simply means that we will be disciplined in following Jesus. Okay, that is what discipleship means. Disciplined in following him, not in attaining knowledge, not trying to get a whole bunch of stuff into our heads, but simply following Jesus. And Jesus says this, he says, you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand. To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where's the Father? And I want to say to you, how can you ask, Lord, where am I going to go? Lord, when am I going to get married? Lord, when? Whatever it is that you're asking. I want to say to you, the answer to your question is simply seeing Jesus. Now that sounds spiritual and spooky and very straightforward, but I know how complicated it is with all the decisions you have to make. But it's going to demand of us to say to him, like the disciples had when Jesus walked into their lives and Jesus said, follow me. That is what it means to be a Christian. Follow me. It doesn't mean come to church. It doesn't just mean sing the songs. It means follow me. And that means being a disciple. That means being disciplined and asking God to show me what do I need to do this year. And for us, guys, I want to say this unequivocally. There's no way we can follow God unless we have got a commitment in our hearts, first and foremost, for the preeminence of the Word of God in our lives. And some of us who are delaying our lives, we're delaying our marriages and our stuff because we haven't even got the basics down pat, which is simply this, the Word of God and your prayer life, that is what's going to cause you to grow. If you don't read the Word, if you don't pray, you're not going to grow. Okay? And Very basic, but I've got to say this because I've come across my own life and I've realized, whoa, it's full. Chock-a-block. Lots of stuff. But when was the truly quality devotional time with God? When was the truly quality time with just spending time in His presence? And I want to hold this challenge before us as the highway of discipleship God wants to take us on and encourage you. 5th of February, we have a perspective seminar. Some of you have been visiting us for quite a while now. Okay? It's been coming on a year, year and a half. You're not a member yet. I want to urge you and I'm going to say to you that needs to stop. Okay, you need to find a place where you can submit yourself. In order for you to do that, you need to know what we believe. And perspective is where we say what we believe. What do we say the Word of God tells us? This is what we believe concerning the Word. Bible also says, how can two walk together if they don't agree? How can we walk in the same way? All right. So, guys, if you've been here for a long time, I believe you've seen enough to know whether you should be with us or not. Okay? Please decide. Okay? Get to a place where you can say, Lord, show me if this is where I need to be, because you are a valuable, precious member of the body of Christ. And the Lord doesn't want you to be confused. So if He doesn't want you to be here, then He will have shown you somewhere else where you can be. Okay, so if you're unsure, please come to the seminar. We would love to have you there. Just chat to you what we believe in. Then as Christina said, the 21st of February, we're going to start off with Bible school. It's one evening a week, right, for about 2.5 hours. We can submit ourselves to the Word of God. Say, Lord, just come and cleanse us. Come and wash us. We want to follow you. We want to hear your voice a little bit more clearly. And we hope to see you guys there, those of you who can make it. Okay, let's stand. I want to read the last slide for you. It's Luke 24, verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13 says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. This is just after Jesus had died. Peter had run to the tomb. He arrived there. The tomb was empty. They were still confused. They didn't know what was going on. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And this is the highway that I call the highway of companionship. And you will see one or two things. You will see that these guys, they were walking together. The stuff happening in their lives, very important things that they had to just find out, what does this mean? And they were walking together and they were discussing these things as they were walking together. And I want to pray with all of us that this year will be the year in which we make a very deliberate commitment not to walk alone, not to allow the spirit of isolation, whether it's work pressuring you to work and work and work. And I know there are seasons like that, but then people need to know that you are in such a season. People need to know that you're going through a tough time. And all of us on Facebook, most of us, okay, use it for good. Use it to let the people who matter in your life know how you're doing. Something beautiful happened as these guys were walking together. Jesus drew near. With all the highways I've spoken about now, invitation that He's holding before us, just getting to a place of servanthood and holiness and all of that and of rest. The one that I'm going to leave us with tonight is a promise that Jesus gives us, that He always draws near. He always draws near as we're walking, as we, I don't know what the highways are for you this year. I don't know where it's going to take you, to Pakistan or to the States or wherever it's going to take you. But I do know that Jesus' promise is that He will draw near to you. And with those two disciples, when Jesus was done with them, they weren't confused anymore. They weren't uncertain anymore. He came into them, walked with them, they invited Him home, He broke the word, explain things to them. And I just want to pray this prayer over us. And I know this isn't a tremendously spiritual sermon and supernatural and all of that. But guys, if we're going to go into the supernatural and we lose our foundations, we're going to be a flaky bunch of people, not going to accomplish anything in the presence of God and in this world. So for us to really have the supernatural, for us to really walk in it, we need to be faithful stewards of what God has given us. And what I've just went through now is foundation 1 through 5. Okay? And that is what we are stewards over. That is an integral part of who we as Shofar are. And if we're going to walk together, if we're going to enter into the supernatural, take your time. You're under no pressure if you're visiting us. But if you have committed in your heart, this is where you want to be. Let's journey together. Like this, that's my desire for us, simply for us. Foundation 1, to walk together and to talk about the word. Foundation 2, to walk together and to talk about family. Foundation 3, to walk together and to talk about family life back in the past and our hurts and the healing God has for us. Liberty Foundation 4, to walk together and to talk about the freedom that God has for us. How we can live holy lives. How we can live consecrated lives. How we can live lives of overcoming and of power. Foundation 5, share simply for us to walk together as we are inviting other people into the freedom that God has for us. So as the band comes up and we're going to sing that song that we ended off with, because that's the focus for me, Jesus and His beauty. I want us to close our eyes and I want to pray for us tonight and just really trust the Lord to remove all confusion in our hearts. You know, JP, again, when you share that word, I'm so blessed that we have a love for the Word of God. I'm so blessed that we don't make apologies for what the Word says. The Word says, doesn't say, maybe if there will be persecution, there will be persecution. The degrees will vary. It's up to Jesus and what He has in store for us. We don't make apologies for the Word. We don't make apologies for the fact that God calls us for a life higher than just living for ourselves. So this is probably not a church growth message, but maybe it's the way that Jesus wants His church to grow, with a love for the truth. Not loving our lives, embracing something more and something higher. So I want to say to us, guys, buckle your seatbelts. We're in for an amazing, adventurous ride this year. We're going to die to ourselves. A lot of things that have bugged us. Some of you are going to walk into freedom like you've never experienced. You're going to experience a liberty in the presence of God, a liberty around your brothers and your sisters, a liberty in terms of relationships. And you will, for the first time, maybe begin to enjoy the people in this place around you. Just close your eyes. Father, I want to pray, God, for those specific people who just cannot seem to break through into, Lord, the wonderful freedom of enjoyment. Some, Lord, who are so tense, and working so hard at making life work. I want to pray, Father, for them specifically tonight, Lord, since a lady here, God, that You're just wanting to really pull very close to Yourself, embrace, Lord, and allow, it's as if she's been doing, see this picture of you doing a lot of gymnastic work from a very young age, and you've lost out on the innocence, you've lost out on the ability to just enjoy life, you've always been pushed, you always had to be very, very, very disciplined, and so even the journey of discipleship, you've tackled that with the same energy, you've approached it with the same energy, but it's become something that has robbed a lot of joy out of your life. The Lord tonight is wanting to restore your joy. He's wanting to restore the vibrancy of your relationship with Him and get you to a place where He says it's okay to miss the practice session, so to speak. It's going a little bit contrary to what I've been saying all night long, but to you specifically, I want to say that the Lord is saying it's okay for you to miss the practice. Your daddy is going to come look for you. And He has a meeting organized with you. So it's not about canceling the practice. It's about actually going on that date with your daddy. And you've been disappointed. Your daddy had made a few appointments with your earthly father. And He actually stood you up. And since that moment, you've been very, very pessimistic towards men and trusting them at all. And sort of carry that over into your walk with God and whether you can trust Him or not. And if that is you, I would like you to just come to the front. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd love to pray with you because I know the Lord is going to set you free. So now really just cement something in your heart and trust that there's two ladies here the Lord is speaking to tonight. Father, thank you for the roads that You've mapped out for us tonight, God. Thank You, Lord, for the challenge, Lord, to live our lives humbly before You in repentance. Challenge, Lord God, to respond to Your invitation that You give us to come to the wedding feast. Thank You, Lord, for the highway of rest that You have for us, God, where we can stop, take time out from our busy lives, ask You for the good stuff, God. Ask You for the stuff that really matter, the healing in our hearts that we long for. Thank You, Lord, for the highway of holiness, freedom from sin and weights, Lord God, that so easily beset us. God, thank You, Lord, for the highway of servanthood we can walk on as a church. And I want to thank You for this church. I want to thank You for the many servants here, Lord. So many people are serving behind the scenes. Few other people know about them. They're just doing things, God, simply because They don't want earthly reward. They want to hear you say, well done. We honor them in our midst tonight, God. God, I thank you for the promise that you give us, Lord, that you're going to send us many babies, Lord, and that Father, you're going to join us and just partner with us to make them feel welcome in your home. So we thank you, Lord, for those here with the gift of hospitality. Those, God, whom you have placed here with us to welcome people in. And I pray, Lord, that you will give them the confidence to teach us and to impart that. So we can all learn and grow together, God, to really make this a warm place. A place, Lord, that is open and a place where people will feel welcome. Thank you for the promise tonight, Lord, that as we walk together, Lord Jesus, you draw near to us. You break open the word. So, Lord, we want to say to you that, God, we're in awe of your beauty. We love you, cherish you. We honor you, God. Not in Jesus' name. We're going to sing that song. And I want to ask you, if the Lord has spoken to you, please come to the front now. Please know when the song is over. So then I want to spend time with the visitors. I don't have time to minister then. So while the song is playing, we're going to worship the Lord. Please come. The Lord has spoken to you. Maybe there's a bit of confusion in your heart. Maybe the word that JP shared just so challenges you. And you're a little bit scared out of your wits. Maybe you're not sure where you want to go on missions now or not. Maybe there's a specific choice before you. You need God's wisdom. We'd like to pray with you. And there's a gentleman here also. You feel a deep sense of regret because there was a fork in the road and you feel you've taken the wrong one. You don't know how to get back the course that God has for you. I want you specifically also, together with the other two ladies, please to come to me. We'd love to pray with you. So let's worship the Lord when we're done.